This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports, as you may know, are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service, a high-quality service to our great listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will surely be receiving an electronic QSL card from us, or an eQSL card from us. So here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Anand Mohan from India, Sixten Niman from Finland, and again from India, a reception report from Seema Paul. Thank you, Seema, Sixten, and Anand. And we've received so many emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. Muzaffar Rahman from Bangladesh has sent us an email. Alan Willey, one of our old and regular listeners from Canada, has sent us an email. And here we've received an email from Sherry Paul Garg from India, from Malaysia. Muhammad Briel, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. And we've received an email from Finland from Kari Virtanen. After a short break, I will be back with these emails. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program, and Muzaffar Rahman, as I said, has sent us an email. Muzaffar Rahman is from Bangladesh, so let's see what he says. Greetings from Bangladesh. Hopefully you are safe and doing well during the COVID-19 pandemic situation. I am also fine by the grace of Almighty God. Due to some unavoidable circumstances, I was not able to continue my DXing in last couple of years. As a result, I have not updated frequency chart of your broadcast. So a request to you, please send me an updated broadcast frequency chart as well as some souvenir of IRIB English Radio. And by the way, do you have any social media group for listeners? If so, please add me to the group. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Muzaffar Rahman from Bangladesh. And please accept our appreciations to you for sending us this email. We wish you all the best. We hope that you're safe and sound and you're fine in the time of pandemic, as you said. Of course, by the grace of Almighty God. Thank you for sending us this email, Muzaffar Rahman from Bangladesh. And as for your request about sending you the updated broadcast frequency chart, as you may know, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio at the time of pandemic is not possible. So for receiving updated broadcast frequency chart, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/EN, and there you can find the updated broadcast frequency chart of IRIB English Radio. For the time being, please accept our eQSL card or electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Muzaffar Rahman from Bangladesh, thank you. Write to us soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon, and of course hearing your views about the programs of IRIB English Radio. And Alan Willey from Canada, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Alan says, dear staff of IRIB English Radio, once again greetings from Newfoundland, Canada. Here is a few reception reports attached of IRIB shortwave broadcast as monitored here in Newfoundland since the beginning of the new A22nd broadcast schedule. Hope they will be verified from your site. Good wishes and thank you for the hard work. First of all, salam and warm greetings from Tehran, Iran, and IRIB English Radio to you, Alan Willey from Canada. And accept our warm gratitudes for sending us this email. So you're a regular listener and you send emails to us once in a while, and that's great. Alan Willey from Canada. Why don't you tell us your views about our broadcast? Why don't you tell us which program or programs you like the best? Yes, we are waiting for them, Alan Willey. We wish you all the best. Yes, please accept our best wishes to you for sending us this email. So after a short break, I will be back with an email from India from Sherry Paul Garg. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Sherry Paul Garg, as I said, has sent us an email. Sherry Paul Garg is from India. He or she says, "Greetings from all of us here in North Indian state of Punjab. I'm writing to you after a long time. Hope you will respond. Please add my address and email ID to your mailing list so that I can receive your published material and emails regularly. I like your programs very much, and I have found your website informative, especially news analysis and photo gallery sections. Salam and warm greetings to you, Sherry Paul Garg from India, and many thanks for sending us this email. And thank you for letting us know your views about you know, our programs and our website, as you found it very informative, and especially you like news analysis and photo gallery sections in our website, and that's great. Thank you for the compliments. Sherry Paul Garg, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. And from Malaysia, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, Muhammad Riel. Muhammad says, "Dear sir or madam, warm greetings from tropical Malaysia. Your broadcast engineers may be interested to know that the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting was heard well in this region of Southeast Asia. You will note my reception report of this transmission in this email, which I found correct. I would appreciate a QSL card or an electronic QSL card from IRIB. If neither is available, a verification letter will suffice as well. I look forward to your email acknowledging this report and hope your verification will be forthcoming, inshallah. Thank you very much. Salam and warmest greetings to you at this hot month of the year, of course, in Malaysia. As you said, warm greetings from tropical Malaysia. I think Malaysia is just located north of the equator. And the weather, I think, is equatorial. It is hot, humid, and rainy in Malaysia. Yes, it is a type of tropical weather. So the temperature must be very high in Malaysia at this time of the year. So please accept our warm, and hot salam and greetings to you in this hot, season of the year in your region, which is, equatorial. The weather is equatorial. Wish you all the best, Muhammad Riel from Malaysia. Of course, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a verification. Of course, we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Muhammad Riel, our old and regular listener from Malaysia. And after a short break, I will be back with an email from Kari Virtanen from Finland. Stay with us, please. also hear from one email received from Mohammad Briar from Malaysia, from a very tropical region. We traveled to the northern hemisphere to Kari Virtanen from Finland, which I think in Finland the weather must be cool. Kari Virtanen says, "My name is Kari Virtanen and listening to foreign radio stations is my most favorite hobby. Last week I heard your station here in Finland. I have attached a reception report of your frequencies and also three audio clips. I would appreciate very much if you could verify what I have heard. I thank you very much in advance. Kind regards and hoping to hear from you soon." Salam and warm greetings to you, Kari Virtanen from Finland, and thank you very much for sending us this email. So, you listen to foreign radio stations around the world, and this time you heard IRIB English Radio in your region, and we are so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received in your region and in your country, in Finland. Yes, we received your reception report and also the audio clips. Thank you for them. Write to us soon and be our old and regular listeners. Kari Virtanen from Finland. Wish you all the best. In your upcoming emails, Kari Virtanen, tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. After a short break, I will be back again. So it's time for saying goodbye, but before that, I again send my appreciations and gratitudes to those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports and emails, including Mohammad Riel from Malaysia, Shiri Paul Garg from India, Alan Willey from Canada, Muzaffar Rahman from Bangladesh, Sima Paul from India, Sixten Niman from Finland, Anand Mohan from India, and Kari Virtanen from Finland. Please keep in touch with Listeners Special and IRIB English Radio. Have a good time and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pastoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pastodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Hello everyone, I'm Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll try to discuss the commentary of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قال لمن حوله ألا تستمعون.
Pharaoh said to those around him, "Do you not hear?"
قال ربكم ورب آبائكم الأولين.
Moses said, "Your Lord and the Lord of your first forefathers."
As you were previously with us, dear listeners, we have reached the 25th verse of chapter Shu'ara. قَالَ لِمَنْ حَوْلَهُ أَلَا تَسْتَمِعُونَ قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَرَبُّ آبَائِكُمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. In the previous episodes, we discussed some of the story of Prophet Moses against Pharaoh. In the palace of Pharaoh to invite him to monotheism, to believe in the Lord of the worlds and to accept his lordship, to worship him and to believe in the fact that he is the manager of the world. But in response to that, Fir'aun says, قَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. What is the Lord of the worlds? And Prophet Moses answers him back, قَالَ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you truly have faith, you can open your eyes, you can see the heavens and the earth, you can see the system in this creation, and you can see what is between the heavens and the earth. They are all created by Him, if you truly believe. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you have faith, you will believe in Him. You can truly realize Him. But Pharaoh did not want to wake up from ignorance, sleep. And even with these words of heavenly great teacher, he continues ridiculing and scoffing. He used the ancient method of the conceited tyrants and addressed his companions when he spoke, as the Holy Quran says, قَالَ لِمَنْ حَوْلَهُ أَلَا تَسْتَمِعُونَ. Pharaoh said to those around him, "Do you not hear what he says?" So, liman hawlahu, to those people around him, it is obvious who were the companions of Pharaoh. They were some people like Pharaoh himself. They were some oppressors and wealthy people who only supported tyranny, who only used to gather around what benefits them. Ibn Abbas says that his companions who were attending there were 500 people who were some special and important persons of his nation. Now, what is his aim? What is he meaning to do by this word, أَلَا تَسْتَمِعُونَ? Do you not listen to him? Pharaoh's aim is to render this logical and pleasant speech of Moses ineffective on the dark heart of group. He wants to show that this speech is meaningless, its content is not understandable, So that is why he goes on and says, أَلَا تَسْتَمِعُونَ? Do you not listen to him?
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this
series
of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So when Moses introduces the Lord of the heavens and the earth and what is between them, even with this logical statement, Pharaoh does not want to wake up from the sleep of ignorance. He continues ridiculing this argument and says, أَلَا تَسْتَمِعُونَ? So he is looking forward to render this speech meaningless. But Moses continues this logical and calculated words, and he fears no one. He goes on and says, as the Holy Quran states, قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَرَبُّ آبَائِكُمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Moses said, your Lord and the Lord of your fathers of old. As a matter of fact, Moses, who began with the extrovertive signs in the first stage, then in the second stage of introducing Allah, proceeds to introvertive signs. He embarked on mysteries of creation in man himself, and the signs of Allah's lordship in soul and body of man. But why? He wants to make these ignorant, conceited people think about themselves. He wants to make them get to know themselves a little bit and then to know the Lord of the worlds. Because he, the Prophet, knows that through understanding yourself, it is that you understand Allah more. It is the embodiment of the word من عرف نفسه فقد عرف ربه. The one who understands himself has understood and recognized truly the Lord. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website, at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always, but for me, worry ends when faith begins.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
The morning gatherings have been underrated everywhere. Perhaps westernified people call us the nation of tears, and maybe people closer to us cannot understand why a drop of tear can have such high reward or a morning session to carry such exalted weight. From the political aspect, these prayers, elegies, and attention to Allah direct men's attention to one thing, and that is they mobilize the nation in favor of an Islamic objective.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the Muharram and the Ashura. In one of his speeches, he says that the Islamic revolution in Iran is but a ray of light reflected from the Ashura and its great divine revolution. This is one of those famous sayings that Imam Khomeini had. And in other words, he said that whatever we have is from Ashura. Whatever we have, it is the fruit of Ashura. It is from Ashura. And in reality, we have seen that, yes, it was because of Ashura. It was because of the teachings of the Ashura that were in the nation, that were given to the nation, the Iranian nation, because they have learned lessons from the teachings of Ashura, from the teachings of Karbala, from the teachings of Muharram. Therefore, they were able to raise against the oppression. They were able to raise against
the superpowers of the world, the so-called superpowers, who opposed the war for 8 years on this nation. And even in today's world, we can see there are many, many sanctions which are opposed on this nation. But we see the victory of this nation. We see advancements in this nation. This is all because of Ashura. And this is what Imam Khomeini said, that he said that the Islamic revolution, the revolution in Iran, it is nothing but a ray of light reflected from the Ashura. In the land of Karbala, on the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein has sacrificed everything for the sake of Islam. Similarly, this nation, this Islamic revolution, is giving everything in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is sacrificing everything for the sake of Islam, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wherever we see such actions, wherever we see such movements, these movements live along. These movements live along. Why? Because they are connected to a divine. They are connected to God. And because God is unlimited, He is forever. Therefore, anything that gets connected to God or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes for forever. The people, they remember it, they get lessons from it. And the Islamic revolution in its true way has proven that when someone follows the teachings of Ashura, it becomes victorious. It becomes victorious. It becomes a slogan of truthful. And we have seen that in today's world, even when we talk about the truth, we refer to the Islamic revolution of Iran. Thanks for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Internet trolls.
Part 2.
The Internet. What began as an exclusive tool to connect militaries, governments, and then universities has now, more than 60 years later, transformed everything about how modern societies operate and communicate. Today, no one can escape the grasp of social media or evade the mind-boggling connectivity that nearly all humans worldwide now have access to. But few have been prepared for what has also emerged with all this human connectedness. A new and ominous strain of human behavior has been unleashed. Increasingly, people are hiding behind a cloak of anonymity, waiting to provoke, harass, and even threaten anyone they choose. They are called Internet trolls.
A troll is someone devoting large parts of their life to attacking other people on the internet, basically trying to make that other person's life miserable in some way.
They send things to my home It terrifies me to think what they could do if they wanted to, knowing exactly where I live, knowing where my children go to school.
Trolls can be a minor annoyance or a life-crippling terror. But what happens if society tries to silence them? Who loses then?
Trolling is a free speech issue. And if you aren't free to hate someone, then you're not free.
I've been associated with all kinds of organized trolling groups. We're stretching the bounds of free speech. You either use it or you lose it. Feelings will be hurt.
Politicians and the courts are now grappling with who really is a dangerous troll.
I've been called trolled by very powerful people that should know better. Homophobe, misogynist, racist, all this stuff is just lazy people not wanting to interact.
Artist Gregory Allen Elliott is at the center of a landmark trolling case that might land him behind bars and forever change what any of us anywhere can or cannot say online.
If Mr. Elliott is convicted of a criminal offense, watch out. Nobody will be safe. You better shut up, because if you don't, he could be going to jail.
Gina's blog earns her family a decent income. She writes about being a stay-at-home mom, but from a pro-choice, modern feminist perspective. And a large, active community of like-minded women has grown around her blog.
I like to see that recognition response when someone else goes, oh, me too. And that's so validating. That's why I do it.
Psychologists and psychiatrists have been somewhat taken back by the huge amount of negativity there appears to be on the internet. And it may be that the internet has unleashed a kind of dark demon within millions of people out there in the general public. We think that one of the things that's problematic about the internet is it normalizes extreme behavior. So because you see a lot of people on the internet behaving in an extreme fashion, you think it's more normal than it might actually be. And the other thing is it seems to encourage a herd-like piece of behavior. If one person starts being negative and a group of people pile in behind them, there's a kind of cascade effect, which you don't see in ordinary life outside of the internet.
Hounding people when they are most vulnerable, like at the time of a loved one's funeral, is a surefire hit for the troll.
That's the easiest way for us to create a mass effect. It's really effective when you have all these people who are already emotional. You drop this bomb on them, you know, with the gore photos, maybe some kind of sexually explicit photos. It sends their emotions into overdrive.
But what do the trolls get out of seeing these distraught reactions?
I was a grad student in 1993 at Concordia University of Montreal. Essentially, at that time, the internet was still very nascent, and at that point was just a relatively small number of universities that were connected together. And there was this kind of quasi-bulletin board system called the News Network. You had, for example, a group like Rec.Humor, and people would trade jokes, and I guess what happened at some point was that there were people on Rec.Humor who had a certain penchant for tasteless jokes that was not appreciated by the rest of the community. And so the tasteless denizens were kind of hived off and started their own group, and alt.tasteless was born.
When I used Twitter, I used it as pure form. As an artist, I just went, this is a brush, this is some paint, this is a canvas. I used it to comment on politics. I used it to help people. And I just used it every way possible. One day I responded to every tweet that came across my tweet stream. And then someone said, you don't have to respond to everything. And I said, I know, right? But today that's what I'm doing as an artist and an experimenter.
At one point, Gregory was sending 300 tweets per day. He was acerbic, sometimes crude, and very opinionated. Inevitably, he made some enemies who wanted to shut him up. Chris Murphy, Gregory's lawyer, explains how Gregory went from volunteering to design a logo for a feminist organization to being arrested and jailed for 3 days.
When Greg called me, he had no idea why the police were there, and neither did I, obviously.
And it wasn't until sometime after his arrest, when he was in custody, that he first learned what the police were doing there. And it turned out that there was a woman named Steph Guthrie who had said that Mr. Elliott had been criminally harassing her on Twitter. The medium that Mr. Elliott is alleged to have harassed the complainant, Ms. Guthrie, is on Twitter. That's it. No personal emails, not Facebook, nothing in person, no in-person meetings, no stalking behavior.
There's the one they threw coffee on. You can throw coffee on it, but creating the picture is worth more than 1,000 people destroying it. This is like freedom of speech. This is saying, you know, like, I can comment on what you're doing as long as it's not a threat. You know, if you're hurt, if the truth hurts you, it's not my problem because I'm just telling the truth.
Mr. Elliott was disagreeing with Stephanie Guthrie's politics. She's the founder of a political organization in Toronto called Women in Toronto Politics. Mr. Elliott was an ally of hers for a number of months. But then there was a break in the relationship because Mr. Elliott stuck up for someone he believed was being bullied by Ms. Guthrie and her friends on Twitter.
Ms. Guthrie, who refused to be interviewed for this film, asked her followers to, quote, sick the internet on a young man who had made an anti-feminist video game, a game that even Mr. Elliott admits was clearly offensive.
There was an orchestrated and dangerous attack on this guy. Right up to that point, I was sending tweets to them saying, look, the guy only has 11 followers. Ignore it. It's not good branding, you know, to destroy people's lives. But they said, screw you, Greg. And I said, okay, well, you're not going to take me seriously. You're not going to stop. I sent a tweet that I'm going to paraphrase it. It said, if you commit suicide, I'm holding you all responsible. And at that point, my helping stopped. The attack started, and I had to start defending.
Gregory didn't know what he was up against. A community had labeled him a troll, and they were determined to get rid of him.
I knew they were trying to get me kicked off Twitter. So at first it was a campaign of intimidation. Second, it was fake identities, using my face and names that were similar to my names, and that's illegal. And if I had felt like it, I could have got whoever did it kicked off Twitter. But then it was the hashtag GAE hole, Gregory Allen Elliott, so gay hole. So this was an orchestrated campaign that ramped up.
Gregory fought back with tweets that were often abrasive and confrontational, but he never broke Twitter's terms of service. That hasn't stopped the justice system from charging him with criminal harassment and imposing bail conditions, taking away his internet use for 3 years.
So what I've had to do for the 3 years, because I was banned from the internet and banned from email, is I've had to rely on family and friends and try and cut into their lives and schedules. Yeah, and to be forced back onto a pencil and erasers is very interesting.
I've spent, I couldn't even count, thousands of hours like this, sitting like this, out of my own time, because he was not able to do his own evidence gathering for his case.
So you have to, the most painful thing is having to go through stream of consciousness blather on Twitter. Not exciting for me, and I can imagine it's even less exciting for everyone that was helping me out. So,
sifting through the intricate web of thousands of tweets and retweets made one thing abundantly clear to Gregory's lawyer, Chris Murphy.
Gregory Allen Elliott is not a troll. There's no way. He is either communicating a political message or he's defending himself against their slander. Those two things do not make you a troll. Wasn't going near them physically, wasn't saying anything threatening, wasn't saying anything sexual to them. He was communicating about politics, and he was following the rules on Twitter.
But because Gregory wouldn't shut up, his accusers went to the police, saying that they felt threatened. Now Gregory waits for the judge to decide his fate. Freedom or 6 months behind bars.
If Mr. Elliott is convicted of a criminal offense, watch out, because nobody will be safe. What you're going to do if you're involved in a political conversation online and the mob comes to shut you up, you better shut up. Because if you don't, you could be going to jail.
Internet trolling has two essential parts, the attack and your reaction. A big reaction is what the trolls crave, and the way you respond determines whether or not you are a worthwhile target.
If it's just somebody that's just going to, you know, block us, and that's the end of the game, ah, well, you guys suck. That doesn't provide too much entertainment.
Prolific troll Wild Goose and the Wagoner crew are all about the lulls, the laughs their victims provide. They call them lulls cows. So there's a logical limit to how far they'll push them.
There's a symbiotic relationship between the internet troll and the lulls cow. The Bill Wagoner crew has never pushed anyone towards suicide, nor have we tried to. That's never our intent. Why would we kill a perfectly good lulls cow? If we were to knock them off the internet or out of real life, what benefit would that provide us? You know, how are we going to get any lulls out of someone who's 6 feet underground? You know, last I looked, dead people don't come on the internet.
Stay-at-home mom and professional blogger Gina Crossley Corcoran faces a politically motivated faction among her trolls. They disagree with her opinions on home birth, breastfeeding, and the healthcare system, and they want to drive her blog off the internet altogether.
I have a large reach, but I don't feel like it somehow makes me better than anybody or makes me some sort of powerful figure, but they see it as very powerful, and that's why they want to shut it down.
A few years ago, a coordinated trolling campaign drove away all of Gina's sponsors.
There were a couple of brands that hung on, but ultimately they were like, listen, these people are flooding our Facebook page with negative comments and hateful comments and talking about our families now, and we just can't do it. So suddenly, almost overnight, I had no income base, but I had what had become an expensive blog to run.
Gina took a chance and put up a paywall. Fortunately, it turned out that most of her audience was willing to pay to be part of the feminist breeder community. But the frustrated trolls have since stooped to new lows.
One of them called the police and told them that I was committing suicide. So the police showed up at my house at like 3 a.m, woke me up out of bed, and said, we got an anonymous tip that you are suicidal and we have to put you under a 72-hour psych hold. So I was being thrown in the back of an ambulance, crying, you know, upset, afraid my children were gonna wake up and see mommy being taken away. Luckily, I was able to talk to the EMT and I explained to him, like, listen, this person you're saying from Twitter, this person doesn't know me. Please don't take me anywhere. I have kids to wake up to in the morning. And luckily, he sort of saw the situation for what it was, and he, you know, let me out of the ambulance and said, okay, go back to bed. So I found out from the police that anyone can make a call and say that they're worried about you committing suicide, or they're worried about your children's welfare, or and anyone can make an anonymous tip. They don't have to leave their name. So there's really nothing, legally speaking, that I can do about that. My trolls realized that was a good way to use my own local police to harass me and get me out of bed at 3 a.m. In the course of a year, it happened 3 times. So I went to the police and I said, this has to be illegal. And, you know, the local police's response was basically, well, if you don't like it, get off the internet.
When the police cannot or will not help, there is another place that trolling victims can turn.
Okay. Nice to meet you.
Please come have a seat.
The victims I deal with come to us very frustrated. They're frustrated with the situation because they feel helpless.
Roman Horak is lead forensic investigator at InfoTransic, an international cybersecurity firm. He tracks down the trolls that law enforcement won't or can't find.
The reasons why the police won't engage the case is because they won't believe there's enough of a serious threat, or they won't have the person themselves won't have enough evidence.
I've been getting a lot of people threatening me online, and it's scary. I'm not really sure what to do with this.
What sites mainly are they threats coming through on?
Mostly Twitter, but there's a couple on Facebook.
Okay. One of the big questions is understanding the motive of the troll. There's some trolls out there just scrolling the internet looking for someone random to, you know, harass. However, the vast majority of trolls that we deal with are someone who they know. They would have had a relationship somehow with the offender.
Indeed, in the course of their investigations, Roman and his team have discovered that it is people we know, family and friends and workmates, who are most often behind the heinous attacks we can face. But Roman's team has also uncovered a new, more dangerous type of player in the trolling game. Professional trolls. Those who can be hired to settle a score and attack others for money.
Online trolls for hire. The service is available online, almost like a hitman. Some of the guys are very professional. They even create their own malware targeted to that victim. So they write their own code. These guys know what they're doing. These trolls for hire could be pretty much anywhere in the world. Romania or Ukraine, Russia, lots from there. Trying to track them down often becomes an international operation, having to coordinate between different law enforcements in different countries.
But thankfully, the vast majority of trolls are outright amateurs who don't really know how to cover their tracks.
About 85% of people who are doing these things, you know, trolling and harassing people online, are not tech savvy. Most offenders are leaving a vast amount of digital evidence every day. Every second, every minute right now. Pretty much everything we do online is potentially archived.
Many trolls operate with a false sense of security about their anonymity and of the potential consequences they face if exposed. In England, the law has taken a hard stance and a line has been drawn in the digital sand.
Yeah, I sent some tweets in 2014 and ended up getting a 12-week prison sentence for those tweets.
It wasn't her habit to abuse people online, but today, Isabella Sorley is known as one of England's most notorious trolls. So, what was Isabella's online offense? In 2013, feminist activist Carolyn Criado Perez was campaigning to have a woman's face appear on the next printing of the English £10 note. The public reaction was largely positive, but she was also deluged by a torrent of abusive, irrational, and threatening messages on Twitter. Isabella joined that mob.
That particular night, I was incredibly drunk, and I decided to go home and just send tweets. It wasn't about the campaign. I don't really care what's on a British banknote. I know she was campaigning to have a woman, and the Queen's on the banknote anyway, so I did really not care at all what she was campaigning about. Even now, I don't even know why I sent them. I would love to know why, and I'd love to give, like, a clear, like, answer. But the real thing is that I was drunk, and I've just jumped on the bandwagon and followed a lot of other people.
The trolls were not debating. They were spewing hate and attacking Criado Perez personally for her feminist agenda. Isabella added 6 threatening tweets of her own. She threatened rape and worse.
I woke up in the morning, like, obviously worse for wear, realised what I'd done. I was physically sick. I don't know if it was down to the tweets or just the hangover. Like, absolutely vile. Like, what I tweeted was disgusting, so to think that I actually typed that out, I felt disgusted in myself that I'd sent those specific words to another person.
Filled with remorse the night after spewing her online hate, Isabella took to the internet to both confess and say sorry.
I apologised to her, went, look, it is an empty threat, do not worry, I'm sorry. I don't know if it reassured her at all, but kind of it made me feel a little bit better that, yeah, she's getting all these other rape and death threats. At least mine is an empty threat. She doesn't have to worry about me falling through with what I said.
But rape and death threats are taken very seriously. 4 months later, Isabella was arrested along with another troll. Her trial was widely publicized and she faced the scorn of a nation.
I got a 12-week prison sentence in Holloway Prison. Hard. It was really hard because obviously, like, how high profile it was, I couldn't hide away. I had all the prisoners asking why I did it. I had all like the prison guards asking why I did it. I was getting a lot of abuse from everywhere. I was being made out to be a woman hater, and then obviously I'm in a woman's prison, so I was like, oh dear, now you got my head kicked in because of what someone had saw, what I'd tweeted on the news. I saw myself on Crime Watch in the prison cell, so that was hard.
After her time in jail, Isabella was ordered to do community service and also pay money to Caroline Criado Perez personally for her online attacks.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on RIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we're going to be looking at a very important question, and that question is related to some of the events that ultimately culminated in the Battle of Ashura and Karbala. As you know, we are in the month of Muharram. This is a very solemn and sacred month. It's a very sad month for all of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, as well as those who are fond of them, and even all of the justice-seeking and freedom-seeking individuals in this world. So the question we would like to ask is this. As you know, according to historical accounts, Imam Hussein, he had went to Mecca in order to perform the pilgrimage and the Hajj. And at this time, Yazid, the tyrant of his era, he had the intention of assassinating Imam Hussein in the Hajj. Because Imam Hussein, you know, he hadn't paid allegiance to him. So the question we want to ask today is this. Why is it that, you know, this is a very, unbelievable act of transgression and sin to kill somebody in Mecca, and let alone, you know, the grandson of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such a person, you know, in this such a holy place. Why was Yazid so, you know, adamant about killing the imam and in such a rush to do so, to the extent that, you know, he would go to such great lengths to even kill the imam in such a holy place? You know, what was he thinking at this time, and what was the purpose of such an act? The answer to this question is that, first of all, we have to remember one thing, and that is that the person of Yazid was not a person who, like his father, worked in a very logical and in a very, in a manner in which he deliberated his actions before he did so. So he was a very irrational human being, and perhaps this irrationality and this lack of deliberation and logic, you know, kind of was one of the